Alan Crane Productions, in association with Emergent Light Studio, presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240 for Autumn Semester 2022.
I want to make sure of something there. Okay. Now, going on here from this, the next thing would be, well, what kinds of bonds are there? Now, the one thing, the most secure bonds are mortgage bonds, collateralized bonds. In other words, if we don't pay you, you can liquidate this factory, or you can liquidate our truck fleet. Those are secured bonds, collateralized. I'm not even sure if the book mentions the term, but they've historically been called mortgage bonds, because essentially that's what a mortgage is. It's a bond that has a piece of property attached to it. So when you say, I got a mortgage, well, no, you got a loan, a bond, you issued a bond, and there's a mortgage agreement attached to it. That collateralizes. So in other words, a bond could be collateralized. That's a mortgage bond. Those are the safest bonds. They'll have the lowest coupon. But companies can also issue bonds that are not collateralized. Those are called debentures, D-E-B-E-N-T-U-R-E. Debentures are uncollateralized bonds. In other words, they're not backed by something. The company goes Tap City, the bondholders who are uncollateralized, who have debentures, they just hope that there's enough left in liquidation for them after the mortgage bondholders have been satisfied. So the debentures will carry a higher coupon just because than mortgage bonds, just because there's more risk of the default premium is a little higher on those. So in other words, technically, car loans, home loans, those are collateralized. Those are mortgage bonds because they are backed by something. So if you don't pay, the lender can take something back from you. And now there are all kinds of subordinations. Senior bonds. Those would be the oldest, the top of the rung. Then under those are the senior subordinateds. Then the junior subordinated. Let me show you one here. Now, this is only if there is a bankruptcy. Suppose that in senior bonds, the company has $20 million. In senior subordinated, in other words, they get theirs only after the seniors. Let's say that there's $18 million. And then these juniors, which are down the food chain, there is $9 million in those. And then in the junior subordinateds, there are $5 million. Let's say that the company goes Tap City and its liquidation value is $45 million. Okay? So now, the seniors will get their 20. So what comes here is $25 million. So the $18 million, the senior subordinateds, will get their $25 million. And that will leave us with $8 million. Yeah. So then the juniors will get $8 million because there's not enough left to pay the $9 million. And the junior subordinateds will get nothing. That's why as the subordination goes down the food chain, the coupon is going up because of the greater risk that you wouldn't get anything or you wouldn't get everything in a liquidation. Now these are all uncollateralized. If it's mortgage bonds, they get first shot at everything. In fact, if it's a liquidation, then the mortgage bonds get paid first. And then the trustees' fees for handling the mess get paid. And then, to a limited extent, wages and salaries are paid. And then after that, it's pretty bad down the line. I got coffee on that. But down the line, the others would get something along the way, too. By the time you get to the bottom, it's just there's nothing left. The preferred stock, if there's anything left, they get their par value, but they probably aren't going to get that. The stockholders, they're not going to get anything either. In a full bankruptcy, the equity holders are done. They're gone. It's over for them. Now, company comes up on a debt, payment of interest. It can't make the payment. The first thing that the bondholders are going to do is strike. They're going to try to force the liquidation. They're going to kill the company. Liquidate. The way the company is going to play it is they are going to go and file a petition for under Chapter 11 with a bankruptcy court. Protect us. Stop the liquidation and require that the bondholders discuss it, negotiate with us. So if the petition is qualified by the court, then everything is stopped and the bondholders and the company's board of directors, representatives, get together and they try to do a workout, a reorg. Lower our coupons or forgive some of our debt or something to get this back on the road again. Interestingly, if you think about it, the higher up you are, the less willing you are to do a deal. Just kill it. We'll get our money. It's the ones down the line that are going to want to negotiate because they get nothing if the company's liquidated. If the company comes back to life, they might recover what they the complete death, from complete loss. So the farther you are down the line, the more likely you are to push for a reorg. Now, if nothing can be negotiated, it goes to Chapter 7. And that's it. But if there is a successful agreement, then both sides will go back to the bankruptcy court and say, we have a plan, we have an agreement, we have an understanding, whatever you want to call it. And then there will be a period in which the court will say, are you getting this reorg done? If they say yes, then eventually the company will emerge from Chapter 11 and be a corporation again, be okay. That's how it works. And so we have some companies that have emerged from Chapter 11. They did the reorg, they came back out, they were released from the court's trustee, and everything went back to the company rolling along, doing its thing. There are several companies right now that are in that process, and they may survive, they may not. But the one thing's for sure, the shareholders ain't gonna get nothing. They're done. They're lost. They're gone. Okay. But now there were one thing. One of the things that I did, and I was not somehow I got in a news article back in the 1990s that a company had hired me, and I didn't quite understand what was going on. I'd seen the financials, they were in terrible trouble, but this company issued a press release that they had secured an agreement with a turnaround specialist, which I was not, and I'm not to this day. But interestingly enough, they were on the brink of bankruptcy, but they had not gone and filed a Chapter 11. So technically, it was essentially not a reorg, it was a turnaround, to turn it around to get it back off the bottom. And I got these calls on my flip phone, which I had at the time, and I thought, what the hell? And then I understood what it was, but it was almost hopeless, but they did manage to get survive, barely. Died some years later. But anyway, so yeah, there is hope for a company, JCPenney. Maybe, who knows? Bed Bath & Beyond is in severe trouble. Will they come through? Possibly, we don't know. Companies like GameStop, looks like they're gonna make it. So just because a company is in financial trouble, it's near times interest earned of one. Even if it is below a times interest earned of one and it has filed for Chapter 11, there is some reason to believe that it might come back. Do understand this though, that the bond price is going to drop through the floor. If they're in, because you know, you might not get your money back from it. So a junk bond might be selling at, and I'm gonna give you a specific example, at about $700. Now in the case that I'll show you, the bond still had about 12 years on it. And its original coupon was 7.55%, I believe, face value. Now, in other words, it was going to pay 0.0755 times 1,000. But this company was so risky that the market was saying the yield to maturity, the yield. In other words, the market says this is what you should be paying us based on your risk, was a staggering 20%. So the price of the bond was only about $450. It's junk. But I knew an investor. He specialized in buying junk bonds, buying these. And this was the example. He bought some of these, and it wasn't about $450, $470. And what he was betting the company would come back. So he would make a giant capital gain on this. Well, I'll be a son of a dog if he wasn't right. It did recover. And eventually, the price of that bond went back up into normal range, like 980 or 990. So he made a whopping capital gain profit off a junk bond. Is that going to happen very often? No. But if you want to take a real risk, you buy a bond that's junk for a company that's near bankruptcy or in Chapter 11, you throw a few hundred bucks into it, you might get your money back and a lot more if the company can survive. That's the question with companies right now. JCPenney. It keeps promising it can do better. Well, if it does, you know, you never know. Let me show you right now. Google. JCP bond. Yield. Today. They've got, these are old, how the hell, why are they talking about these stupid 2020, JCPenney's 100-year bonds, really? I mean, if someone bought a 100-year JCPenney bond, I would first of all ask who their crack dealer was. That's the stock price. Well, oh well, I'll give up on that. What I'm going to do is finish this lecture on Wednesday. You'll also have your test, a quiz, 10 questions, 15 minutes. And if you're accommodating, you can go over to the SAS and take the test there. That's all I have for you today. I thank you.